T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. With you here on a Trillville Thursday. Didn't hear any Trillville music in the last segment, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. We might have got some of them, man. Y'all leave Wendy alone, okay? Because she didn't know how to say his name. I don't know how to say his name, right? All right, we're not old. We just don't listen to that kind of music, you know.
And yeah,
so I don't apologize.
No,
I don't apologize. No apologies. Knowing who that dude was, I don't care.
Tory Lanez. Yeah,
yeah,
I don't
care about that dude. But
I don't either.
Y'all like the music? Have fun with it.
Exactly right.
Like I said, cause, I mean, when they asked what my rap name be, like I could, it would have to be something with Mac in it, but it couldn't be like Big Mac because McDonald's would, you know.
Oh yeah, that's
that.
True. Yeah, so you could like, be Lil Mac. Everyone's Lil now.
I ain't gonna be, see my big man. So
I know, and a lot of these guys are. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, whatever.
There are large men who go by Lil, and
yeah.
And why? Why? Everything used to be Big back in
yeah,
the day.
It was Big.
Big Daddy Kane. You Notorious know,
exactly,
B.I.G.
Exactly, and everybody want me to look.
Yeah, why?
I don't know, man. I have no clue, dog. But I tell you, my rap name, but the thing with my rap name, what I was telling Wendy is how I say it would make it be hard. Like, I'm going to be Fitz Post. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. I'm Fitz Post. You know? Could you say but I think it's all about attitude and how I say it, Andy. Fitz
yeah.
Post.
Yeah, no, you're right about
or,
that.
Like shoelace.
Because
I'll be up in your face.
If I'm saying fence post, no one's taking that rap name seriously.
Yeah, it's Fitz Post up in here, man.
I like the ones that are descriptions, though, also of the people. Like there's one guy named Rich Homie Quan. That's a good one.
I like that.
Then you just think of him as your rich. That's just my rich friend named Quan.
Oh
Rich Homie
God.
Quan.
Andy,
I'm trying to
Andy,
think of how I would Andy. Describe myself.
Stop, please.
Well-read bunk or something like that. Pleasant to be around, Andy.
Pleasant to be around, Andy.
Friendly in the mornings, bunk. Rich Homie Quan's a great one, though. Like, what's he like? He's rich, and he's my homie, and
His name's Quan.
All right, let's get to the big clip of the
Fitz
day,
Post.
The most important audio in the world. Brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Well, the way we want to play up front, you know, year to year, in the style that, you know, of our run game, and it just depends who you have back there. I've said it many times. We're not going to have Derrick Henry. You know, it's sometimes it's pretty easy to call a run and watch him stiff arm, you know, 55 people. You know, it's not like, hey, that was a great play call. So I always joke about stuff like that. But do you have those? You know, if you're a ton of receivers and that's where the strength are, you know, you got to get the ball to those guys. But stylistically, how we want to play up front really won't change year to year. But I'm always looking to adapt and, you know, we want to tweak something or try something different. Great. I mean, that's why I always say you got to play to the strengths of your roster and who you have.
Yeah, God, that's such the bottom line when
I
it comes
that
to
answer, dude.
Arthur Smith and offensive coordinators in general, but Arthur Smith, obviously, because he's the next head coach of the Falcons. We get so hung up on who they had when they were on teams that had success rather than simply looking at their personnel and trying to maximize the ability of those guys. And he's right. Sometimes he just called runs for Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry stiff-armed dudes into the middle of the earth.
Yeah.
That's not a great play call. You just took advantage of the talent that's on your roster, which maybe did make it a great play call. Like, you trusted your guy to put him in a situation that you knew that he could win. But don't get hung up on the Falcons having to go out and get that guy. A, because is there another Derrick Henry just walking around right now?
No, there isn't.
I don't really think so. Secondly, there is some pretty good offensive talent already on this team, and I'm interested to see how Arthur Smith builds around it with other pieces that the Falcons need, but also takes advantage of it because Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, those are pretty talented players.
Well, the one thing about it is when Arthur Blank, Mr. Blank, and Rich McKay made this hire, they didn't hire him thinking that Derrick Henry was coming with them. I hope not.
I understand that's not how the NFL works, right?
I hope they didn't think that Derrick Henry, you know, and I know they didn't. But, yeah, I mean, this is all about how he adjusts to what he has here. And he has some good things to work with here, and he knows that. It's just all about implementing them into the system that he wants to run. But it's not gearing towards we're gonna run the same offense we ran in Tennessee. Maybe the language and the formation calls and all that stuff, yeah. But as far as running the offense the same way they ran it, no, they're not going to do that because they don't have Derrick Henry. You know, they don't have that guy here. And so it's going to be an adjustment for them. I think that Matt Ryan is a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. So he will use more of that. But he still wants to run a football and be a physical football team, and that's what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, over the next couple of weeks and months, we'll see, you know, how they're going to fill the roster out and get guys here that can do that. And I don't know that they have a running back right now that they can give the ball to and actually rely on. So whether it's free agency or in the draft, they're going to have to address that. Offensive line as well. Our guy Adam Kaplan going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes, NFL insider from Fox Sports Radio, to talk more about free agency. I mean, the rumor is that next week is going to be a, quote, massacre across the league as far as guys getting cut. We'll talk to Adam about what exactly that's going to look like and how the Falcons factor into it. Daniel Jeremiah joined the show yesterday. We got a couple clips from him here. Here he is comparing UNC running back Javonte Williams, who I'm very high on, to Nick Chubb. Daniel Jeremiah.
Najee, but Javonte Williams from North Carolina is a stud. I mean, he is a stud. I talked to somebody that's been around him and had been at Georgia and said the similarities between him and Nick Chubb, like not only as players, but just as kind of people, like this dude is wide, this is all ball. Like, you know, when you look at a team environment, how many times do you say the running back was the leader of our team? Like, that's not typically the case. I mean, they said this dude was the leader of the North Carolina football team. He was the alpha of the alphas, all business, all football. And then you put on the tape, and he's 5'10", 220 pounds, and he can do everything. So, like, to me, if you're a Falcon fan and you want to get fired up and excited about somebody you could take outside the first round right there at the top of the second round, man, Javonte Williams, I would be stoked if you could pull that off.
You ever been on a team where the running back was the leader?
Leader or captain?
I don't know. Just kind of what he's talking about there, walking around, alpha, the guy that everybody kind of turns to.
No, not really. Yeah. I mean, we've had some good leaders, but like as far as like the linchpin leader, no. We never had that on any team I was on. No, no. And the thing with it is that, you know, he has a similar build to Nick Chubb. He's a damn good running back. We saw with him in North Carolina. You saw with that Miami game. I mean, that was just atrocious. Both of them went berserk in that game right there. But, I mean, his thing, and I don't know a lot about him as far as can he – because you know what the thing in the NFL? You got to be able to catch the football.
Yeah.
He catch the football too? That's one of those things. Now, I know he can run with it. He can tote that tater. Now, you get it to him. But can he catch the ball also? You know, a lot more goes into blitz pickup. I mean, sorry, into an NFL running back. Blitz pickup is so vital. It's so vital. I mean, it might be the second thing behind running with the football. It might be before catching the football. Blitz pickup is so big because defensive coordinators design blitz pickups to confuse, of course, confuse quarterback stuff, but confuse the guys that are supposed to be in for the blitz pickups. And so you got to be able to have a smart back there that can do all those things.
He had 25 catches last year. 25 catches for 305 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Okay. That's so, pretty good. I mean, pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah, but it's not like they're throwing him the ball a ton. Right, that's like 2 catches a game or something like that, which is good, no doubt. But it's not like we're talking about a guy who's getting targeted almost as much as wide receivers are getting targeted as well. But look, he can catch the ball, right? And that's what you're looking for. Here's Daniel Jeremiah, if you're not going to take a running back that early, talking about some other good running backs that would be available later.
We say it every year. Running backs, you can find them everywhere. So you're going to have options. Michael Carter from North Carolina, the other running back. We talked about Javonte Williams. But Michael Carter is kind of, to me, reminds me of Ray Rice when he was coming out of Rutgers. I mean, he's a 5'8", 200-pound bowling ball who's just he's just a really, really good football player. And I would add Jamar Jefferson from Oregon State. Those guys, I think, are third-round type players. If you want to go beyond that, one other running back, Javian Hawkins from Louisville, who's got a lot of juice, probably more of a fourth, fifth-round guy.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a good player. And then you look at Louisville. Well, who's the new O-line coach here?
He came from Louisville.
Yep.
Randy.
So, yep. So don't be surprised if that those connections are together because he is a very good football
player. Well, that stuff, you know, that stuff happens so much, especially with new regimes like this where, you know.
What do you think of this guy? What do you
Oh, I coached him. Oh, yeah, actually recruited him. And, you know, when you have guys coming from college, that helps as well because they were actually out there looking at these guys over the last couple of years. So, yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. Don't be surprised if they do take the running back from Louisville. Let's get back into what the Hawks did last night. A great come-from-behind victory. Down as many as 19 points in the second half. Got their first win that was under 8 points this season. Got a close win last night. A lot of fun. Here's how some of it sounded.
Ross with five. Ross down the lane. Ross puts up a runner. No good. Rebound. John Collins. The Hawks are going to win this game, folks. The Atlanta Hawks are going to come from behind and win this game. John Collins just got fouled with 0.6 seconds left.
You know, we talked about staying together, being connected out there, and playing a full 48 minutes. You know, it took us all 48 minutes to get it, but they got it. And, you know, as we mentioned before the game, don't go on break until after the game.
Look, I love that right there.
Yeah,
man.
That's the thing about Nate McMillan that people are going to start to learn. He loves his little phrases.
I love that right
like
there.
Like, he'll do a lot of things like the three C's or like the four H's or something. He loves to simplify things like that. People probably make fun of him for it at some point. But, yeah, don't go on the All-Star break until the All-Star break starts. Yeah. And it kind of looked at halftime last night like the Hawks were already on All-Star break.
And yeah, I mean, on All-Star break, they can't go nowhere.
Yeah, that's right. On All-Star break quarantine.
Yeah,
and then they scored 73 points in the second half and made 15 threes. They made 15 threes in the second half of last night's game, nine of them coming in the fourth quarter. Trae Young was fantastic again. Look, you said it earlier. I'm with you. The best overall game that Danilo Gallinari has had as a member of the Hawks because he played some good He was just kind of pesky on defense, poking it at him. Vucevic is trying to back him down, and he's just making it hard on him. Solomon Hill with that stop there on Terrence Ross, who went off last night as well. They got some stops in the fourth quarter when they needed them, and that's a big part of how they came back and won that game.
Why did I forget Terrence Ross was on the Magic?
Because he plays for the Magic.
Yeah, I was like,
probably don't think about the Magic that much.
That's where he is, man. He was really good last night too.
Yeah,
he was really good. And his thing was, it's like every time the Hawks were making a run, he would hit a big shot.
Yeah,
but then he started missing. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I love what Nate said right there. Like, it would look bad. They would have lost that game, Andy. For one simple reason is because you got what you wanted. Now, I'm not saying they're gonna win every game after the break.
Right.
But show me why all this excitement now in y'all voice because y'all old coach is gone.
Right.
You got this new guy. The new voices y'all wanted. Well, keep showing me. And in two games, they show me that the new voice is something that it looks like is registering with them.
Mm-hmm.
So good for them.
Yeah, and I don't know that the reason that they were inspired to come back in the fourth quarter last night was because they like playing for Nate McMillan.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of different stuff that motivates guys
and
in the middle of the season.
As long as they win it, how about we just go with it?
Yeah, I don't care. Whatever it takes to get you up. If that's what it is, that Nate McMillan's on the sideline and you like listening to him more than Lloyd Pierce and you're going to try harder in the second half, great. Because now they've got the entire second half of the season. And as crazy as it is to say, as much of a disaster, really, as the first half of this season was, and it was, I mean, between injuries and Trae not making the All-Star game and Lloyd Pierce getting fired, like, a lot of negative stuff happened in the first half of this season. They're a game and a half out of sixth place in the East. Yep. They go into the break with a couple nice wins, a little momentum, and Nate McMillan, a coach that they seem to like more. Like, there's no reason for your expectation to be any different now than it was at the beginning of the year with these guys, which is go to the playoffs.
I mean, because they're right there, and they're in the East. And it, I mean, and, you know, how the East is bunched up outside of Brooklyn and Philly, you know, a loss here can move you from 3-8. I mean, that's how they are. And they are part of this jumbled up mess right now that is the Eastern Conference right now. But I'm not even worried about the playoffs. I mean, I want them to go there, and my expectations coming into this season was playoffs, so I'm not going off of that.
Yeah,
I'm not getting off of that stance. But they got to find a way to consistently get these type of performances.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the key thing down the stretch, of course, will be health, getting their guys back. But it's going to be this second unit, Andy. It's going to be this second unit and how they form and how they're able to let Trae get rest and be able to play those last 7-8 minutes of the fourth quarter.
100% agree. 100% agree. Your second unit can't come in and give up leads like they have in the first half. Last night they didn't. They didn't against the Heat the other night either. Adam Kaplan going to join us next. NFL insider. from Sirius XM and Fox Sports Radio. Get his take on how crazy next week is going to be with free agency. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right. 20 minutes away from some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt at 12:40. Thanks for being with us here on a Trillville Thursday. Let's get quickly out to the WadeFord.com hotline so we could chat with our guy Adam Kaplan, NFL insider from Sirius XM as well as Fox Sports Radio. Follow him on Twitter at KaplanNFL, C-A-P-L-A-N-N-F-L. And first and foremost, Adam, thanks for the time. How are you?
Guys, good to talk to you.
Secondly, these rumblings about what next week might look like in the NFL. Like, obviously, we've already seen some cuts, some pretty good names out there. But people are talking about next week just being unlike anything we've ever seen. What exactly is that going to look like, in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all.
Okay.
I know why people are saying that. This has been out. I mean, people have been saying that for 2 months now. And quite frankly, I track these things pretty closely. I do reporting on it. There's only been one over the last 3 weeks when teams started cutting players that was a surprise at all. That was Kyle Van Noy of the Dolphins. That one surprised me because they paid him $15 million for one season. And here's the other thing. It's not a cap issue. They were already well under the cap. They're about $30 million under. They just didn't want him. See, I think folks have to put this stuff in context. If you're going to say there's going to be a bloodletting, well, you got to tell me why the team cut the player first, and I'll tell you if that's accurate. That's just the way it is. Like, for instance, okay, the Falcons are still over the cap. They're, depending on what the cap is, they're $15 to $20 million over as we speak, but I know that they're working on restructures and pay cuts and so forth. The only guy that, to me, they have to take a look at is Dante Fowler, because he's got a $13 million base salary, which becomes fully guaranteed on March 21st, and he also has a roster bonus that day due. Now, I don't see why he wouldn't be here. They are changing defensive schemes. They're going to run a hybrid 34 on the DNPs. He's a perfect fit for it. He did very well on it with the Rams a couple of years ago before he came to the Falcons, so there's no reason why he shouldn't be on the roster, but they have to do some trimming of pay, and there's some guys they could certainly look at restructuring or guys who take pay cuts, but that's what these things are about. Teams, I could just tell you this, they rarely cut players they want to keep. That's just the way it is.
So with that being said, because I'm looking at some of these numbers, Adam, and I'll just stick here strictly with the Falcons, and you say they're going to pick up this Dante Fowler. Who are some players on this squad, the big money players, that can restructure some? Because the names that automatically come to mind are always Matt Ryan, Julio.
Yep.
Guys like that.
Right. Randy, what they can do is they could take – Julio's got 3 years left, okay? They could take his base salary of $15.3 million and convert that to a signing bonus and spread it out over 5 years. And they could lower his cap number by $10 million easily, because his cap number is over $23 million, which is really high. They can do that. Now, the reason why teams don't like doing that with older players is guys who have an injury history, like Julio Jones. He just turned 32 years old. If a guy retires early, I'm not saying Julio is, but if he decides to retire over the next couple of years, if they trade or cut him, or they want to trade him, or they wind up cutting him, there's a significant amount of dead money that's left on the cap, and you want to be careful of doing this with older players. You like to restructure with younger players who you never have to worry about whether they're not going to be on the team or not.
I wonder when we get to when we actually get to free agency, because again, Adam Kaplan joining us here, our NFL insider, kind of saying, I don't know if it's the opposite, but just a little bit different from some of what we've been hearing from other folks around the league, which is it's not going to be as crazy next week. Players are going to get cut because teams want to cut them. It's not just going to be this crazy bloodletting. But when it gets to the point where there are a lot of guys out there and the salary cap is a little bit lower, it sounds like there's going to be guys accepting of one-year deals in situations where they wouldn't be. How do you go about attracting one of those guys, say if you're the Falcons, and they're being offered contracts by various different teams and everybody's kind of offering the same amount of money?
Opportunity. Here's a perfect example. So if you're a pass rush guy, if you're an outside linebacker, other than Dante Fowler, they just don't have very many guys who can rush the passer from a stand-up standpoint with the kind of scheme that they're going to run. You could offer someone on a one-year deal. We on NFL Radio last week, we had Brian Levy on, who's not only Mike Tomlin's agent, but he also handles players. And what Brian said is what you mentioned. He said the one issue he has this year is that he thinks a lot of veterans are going to have to, they're going to get squeezed. They're going to have to take one-year deals. And that has been the belief around the league, that you're going to see a bunch of veterans we call them mid-level players, mm-hmm. sort of like mm-hmm. some people have called the mid-level exception in the NBA. You know, each team has one. Well, you're going to see a bunch of mid-level free agents who typically might get 30 to 40% more. They're probably not going to get as much. Yeah, sure. Next week, there'll be a lot of players still being released over the next 10 days. But I'll just leave you with this one on that end. Look, if there are 50 players released next week, show me how many players really wanted those guys back. Very few teams are going to cut guys who they want. That's just the way it is. It'll never change.
But when you say it like that, because of how the cap has shrunk, I agree with you that you don't cut players that you want on your team. But yeah. There's going to have to be some of those that are like, wow. Like, because I think,
right.
I think, yeah,
right.
You know, like, wow, damn, you know, because of the fact is that they're so far. Like, Adam, you've been doing this a long time. How the hell are the Saints going to get up under this number at whatever they are right now? I mean, they're going to have to remove some guys.
Just like, Randy, for instance, Pittsburgh was about, they were about 40 to 45 million under, excuse me, over the cap. They went from having a salary cap around 235 to 240. They're at 192 right now, and they're going to restructure Roethlisberger's, and they'll get under the cap. So they'll be okay. So, by the way, they didn't have to cut anybody. Now, New Orleans, you're right. They have the worst. As of a week ago, they're at $263 million, which put them roughly $80 million over. Now, they're doing massive restructures. And the funny thing, by the way, you mentioned Jared Cook. Jared Cook's scheduled to be a free agent in 2 weeks. I don't understand kind of why they cut him now. I don't know if there's some kind of – this happens. A couple guys who are cut who are going to be free agents, you're cutting them before their contract expires. It's very bizarre. Maybe there's some kind of salary cap benefit, but nevertheless – the Saints are the one team. I would say if we look at teams that are severely in trouble with a cap, obviously New Orleans, the Saints are the ones where you go, okay, how are they going to pull this off? They're doing a lot. They still have a lot. They restructured Drew Brees' contract a couple weeks ago. The Eagles still have a lot of work to do. Remember, they're going to take a significant cap hit when the Carson Wentz trade becomes official on March 17th. So they're counting for that. The Giants, they cut Golden Tate. Golden Tate did not do very well for 2 years. That was a bad contract. Great for the player and the agent. Bad for the club. So they cut him. They didn't want him. So those are the kind of veterans who don't have any guaranteed money in their contract. The club could save $10 million by cutting these guys. These are easy cuts to make. It's the guys that you still think have something left and you don't want them to go to another team. Those are the ones that general managers tell me that they lose sleep over.
Can you give us a name or two of a pass rusher that may end up being available, a guy that's going to be a free agent that the Falcons may be able to afford that we could start focusing on, because that's obviously a big need of the Falcons?
Yeah, I could just – there's no way to know who's going to be cut because these talks are the talks are going on now. I could just give you my – you know, I have an extensive free agent file. Mm-hmm. The kind of guys who would fit who are not going to cost a ton of money. Tyus Bowser is terrific. He's a very underrated – outside pass rusher for the Ravens. He's an unrestricted free agent at a University of Houston who's had some really good productivity as a sub-package rusher. He's a young guy. He would be perfect for this scheme. This is the kind of guy they should be looking at. Leonard Floyd of the Rams, the former first-round pick of the Bears. He revived his career with the Rams. He's available. Marcus Golden, before he tore his ACL 3 years ago, was a really terrific player. He was an original Cardinal. Went to the Giants, didn't work out, went back to the Cardinals. He's available. But a guy I absolutely love would be Tyus Bowser, who should have plenty of interest because the Ravens are focusing on Matthew Judon, who's probably the top outside pass rusher available in free agency. He's a stand-up outside linebacker for the Ravens. Now, though the Ravens scheme is a little bit different, but there's certainly some similarities to what Dean Pease is going to run. Dean knows that scheme because he was there. But Dean has his own version of it. These outside pass rushers are very hard to find. Shaq Barrett is going to cost a lot of money. I don't see that. Mm-hmm. Because assuming they're bringing Dante Fowler back, I don't know why they wouldn't. They just have to look at his salary cap number. But those are the kind of guys that I think would fit. Hassan Reddick, okay, going to cost a lot of money most likely. It's amazing. Hassan Reddick, the former first-rounder for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
You could have got him for nothing headed to last season. Chandler Jones gets hurt. He has to wind up starting. Has 12 and a half sacks. Mm-hmm. So – to me, the guys like Tyus Bowden, Marcus Golden, Kyler Fackrell, by the way, from the Giants, formerly of the Packers. He's another guy should be a bargain. These are some of the guys who would fit the scheme pretty well.
Adam, we appreciate it.
Appreciate
great stuff
you, AC,
as
man.
Always.
Take care, brother.
Guys, thank you.
Right. Adam Kaplan there, NFL Insider, Sirius XM, and Fox Sports Radio. Again, follow Adam on Twitter at Kaplan NFL, C-A-P-L-A-N. NFL, and he joined us on the WadeFord.com hotline. And look, it's always, we always get that with Adam. It's everyone saying this, and Adam says, "Well,"
and Adam says, "Well,
not so fast." And that's this is actually how I see it.
I mean, but everybody has their different opinions about it. I mean, because it's just, it's hard for me to believe that somebody. And first of all, what Adam was saying, yeah, you cut players that you don't want. That is so true. Like the whole Kyle Van Noy, that surprised me because of the length of the deal they just gave him.
Right, they just signed him.
I'm a big fan of his, but he ain't no 15 mil for 1 year guy.
Right.
He just isn't. He's not a dominant player. He's a good, solid football player that can play in multiple schemes, but he's not a dominant football player. Mm-hmm. That's why when they gave him the contract, I was like, well, this is more or less Flo trying to get some people down there to teach the system and to bring some kind of that culture that they're looking for. Some guys are going to have to get released. Now, the thing with the Julio Jones and you know, Matt Ryan, of course, they're always the first names that come to mind when you think about restructuring and all those things, is it looked like a reward to them. You know, if you're, if you're going to spread it out over multiple years, I mean, you're viewing Julio Jones as being here long term.
Right.
Right or wrong?
That's how I view it.
That's
how
I view
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Like, if I'm, and this may be silly if of a way to look at it, but if I'm willing to restructure my contract to help you out in terms of your salary, I understand I'm getting my money up front. That's the good thing about getting that signing bonus, converting it to a signing bonus. Instead of Julio getting a check every whatever week throughout the season, he gets a big lump sum up front, which is nice. But if I'm doing that, my assumption is, you're keeping me around for a minute, right? I mean, maybe that's a silly business assumption to make.
Let me ask you this. If they were to come to Julio and Matt to restructure their deal, which one would you want?
Matt, because it's going to free up more money.
Okay.
In terms of which player would I want long-term or which?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because either way, I think either way, if you restructure either one, I think they're going to be here past the 2022 season.
Yeah, I mean, I think I still go with Matt just because, I don't know, I'm scared of injuries. I mean, when Julio's healthy, he's one of the five best players in the NFL. The idea of a guy getting healthier as he gets older just seems unlikely to me. And I hate to say that about Julio because he's phenomenal when he is. It just seems like a gamble to hope that he's going to get healthier than he has been over the last couple of years. Plus, if you can get Matt to restructure that deal and convert a lot of that money into signing bonus money, then you can free up a lot more of your salary cap. Like Matt Ryan is a $40 million cap hit this year.
Yeah.
And Julio's like 20. And they combine for 35% of your cap.
Right.
If you can get that converted and get their base number down to like a veteran minimum.
Don't it seem like they have to do that?
They do have to. Yeah.
Yes.
They absolutely have to. Unless, and the only reason I can see why they wouldn't have done it yet is they're still considering and fielding phone calls on trades.
That could be it.
Like, that would be the only reason why you wouldn't have done it
yet
to me.
It seems like they have to put and tomorrow we're going to have a story that Andy Ray with a great article, by the way, about it sounds easier, then why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, exactly, because it does easy. Sound easy. Okay, convert easy. It to signing bonus money, and then you're like $20 million under the cap. Oh, okay, well, then why don't you do it? There's got to be reasons why to not do it as well. And one of the reasons why I think maybe they haven't done it yet is their phone's still ringing, you know?
Yeah.
Not every quarterback has moved yet. Julio Jones has value. People are still calling him about him. If they can't move him, then they convert that money and go about it that way. We'll get back into that tomorrow, though. I think that is an interesting conversation. Thanks again to Adam Kaplan from Fox Sports Radio. We'll come back. We'll get to some damn good questions with Brian. Thanks for being with us on a Trillville Thursday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Arena Santa Fe. We just had Adam Kaplan on. Now it's time for Brian 3 questions.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Hanging out on a Trillville Thursday, 20 minutes away from What's Trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Get back into all the breaking news from the last 24 hours. An excellent Atlanta Hawks victory last night headed into the All-Star break. 4-1 now under head coach Nate McMillan, which is exactly the same record that they started off the season with, 4-1.
Why'd you have to do that?
Remember when they were 4-1?
When Brian mentioned that this morning when we were doing
this. It's just a parallel.
Like, why would y'all do that?
Why? What's wrong with it? It's just a true thing.
I don't like that true thing. Even though it's true, it is. Okay, it is. Well, technically it's not because he was not the interim head coach of those other two.
That's so you're not counting those games now. Okay.
No, no. I'm just going to do that because I don't want to fall into this, whether they were 4-1, that's the same parallel. I know how you are about parallelograms and stuff, Andy.
I love parallelograms. Yeah. Squares. Yes, rhombuses. Remember rhombuses?
No,
school?
I don't remember too many damn rhombuses, Andy.
I do. Those
I
are
have
great.
The stuff they taught us. They ain't using. When the last time I saw
Wendy
something.
Wendy loves was... a rhombus.
What she the just... hell is it? What are we doing here?
I don't know what we're doing.
It's like a nightclub?
I don't know. We're that ain't off.
That's another hard rap name, rhombus.
That's going to be your rap name?
I mean, I'm just throwing out good rap names for myself. Rhombus.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Brian.
In my chest.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
What are we doing right now is such a great question that can be asked so many times during our show. Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678 ESOG now.
Oh, yeah, a little Nirvana.
Hey, that's pretty good, homie. That's pretty good, but hold up.
Okay.
Hey. That's excellent, but it's the funny thing, we always tell y'all that in the breaks, like whoever in the control room, they can hear us, and that's why they the outtakes will be so great if they record us because of some of the stuff that me and Andy do. Wendy just said Andy just was playing a whole guitar freaking concert during the break.
I was warming up, man. I didn't want to get I don't want to let you guys down again like I did on Tuesday, so I wanted to make sure I brought the heat today.
That's pretty good, though, man.
Thank you. That's a
two good days in a row. Appreciate that, Bunk.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, two in a row. We'll try to make it three on Monday.
All right, so NFL owners, they're considering making roughing the passer a reviewable call. Is this a good idea, bad idea, and why?
I think it's a good idea, and I know a lot of people think it's bad because it's slowing review and all that. I think it's a good idea because of all the crappy calls that are called on that penalty.
Yep.
I mean, it's just horrible, some of the things that happens to defensive players when they're just sacking the quarterback. I just think I would love for him to do it, especially because remember it was in the Super Bowl where dudes was Aaron Donald's hand. It waved in front of Tom Brady's face mask. Mm-hmm. It didn't hit him. Mm-hmm. And they gave him a damn roughing the passer penalty. Like, that's what that's for.
Yeah. And I agree with everything you just said. But the reason I think it's a bad idea is because I think they'll screw it up. Like, I don't think that they'll actually do it right. I think that they'll throw flags to review and look at these things and treat it the exact same way that they did the pass interference review, which is never overturn it. Because
see, I don't know. There's no way you can see that play that happened and not overturn it.
But that's what we said about pass interference. There's so many different times when they had reviews. It's like, well, obviously that's pass interference. He got there way too early. And then the refs are like, nope, call on the field stands. It's the same thing. We're going to keep going. So if you can guarantee me that they're actually going to do a good job of reviewing roughing the quarterback, I'm with you, Randy, because it's a joke. Like, we had Grady Jarrett sacked a quarterback last year. I don't remember what game it was, but he sacked the quarterback and got flagged for roughing the passer. He sacked him. He had the ball. He tackled him. He did his job, and he got in trouble for it because of whatever rule is in place right now. So, yeah, it would be really great if they could use it and it actually worked. I just don't trust them to, because every time they review something, they screw it up. Think about the catch rule. We've been trying to figure out what a catch is for 20 years now. So, as time goes by, I get further and further away from reviewing anything. Like, all review does is mess it up. All it does is make it more complicated, mess it up, slow the games down, and make it so we get further from. So I'm not for it. I say get rid of review completely in general.
Okay.
Yeah, scrap it all. It'll
get rid of it.
Better.
Get rid of all of it. Football was fine before you had it. Get rid of it.
And we get it right just as much, like you mentioned.
Right.
So, with or without it. People have been having fun with the Bama wide receivers, seemingly liking Mac Jones more than Tua, or at least choosing him over Tua when asked the question. Here's a Q&A with Jalen Waddle and Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. You guys let me know if there's anything to this.
Nope, nothing.
Not at all.
Fair, but I'm gonna ask you either way, right? So fair. This one might be unfair, but I'm gonna ask you either way, right? So bear with me, Jalen. Article last week that said when Devontae Smith was in Mobile and he was talking to all the teams, someone asked him, hey, who'd you prefer, Tua or Mac? And he allegedly went, oh, Mac. Can I ask you the same question?
I like Mac Jones, too. I like Mac Jones. Just my preference. Both of them great quarterbacks, but I love Mac. He was the guy that I came in with, and from day one, we was on the third team together, and we worked our way up. Mac.
Okay. Now, I'm glad I heard the whole thing because of the reason he said that he chose Mac. Came in together, worked their way from the third team. Why do we got to make it a big deal? Oh, they prefer. No. Devonta Smith, you know who his quarterback when he won the damn Heisman Trophy, Andy?
Mac Jones.
Thank you. Yeah, that's please.
I know. It's so, like, in context, it's such an innocuous thing. It's like, yeah, he played more with him, spent more time with him, was on the third team with him, so they have a different bond.
Really?
It wasn't like, because Tua sucks.
Yeah. Like, this, I mean, really, dude. No, I mean, come on, man.
I get why people would try to make it into that because, you know, Mac Jones is a first-round quarterback and Tua's in the league now. I thought maybe because, you know, sometimes people complain about the left-handed spin being hard to catch or something. I thought maybe that would be something, but that's not what they said. Did you ever find that, like, left-handed quarterbacks is harder to catch than right-handed quarterbacks? I've heard people say that before.
I only played with one, David Green, and I didn't see no difference. The ball spins different.
Yeah, it spins the opposite way.
I'll tell you what, never paid attention to it.
Right.
Damn,
I mean, ball's it's your coming job at just me. To catch the
damn
ball.
Damn, ball's catching. Right. Ball coming. Catch it.
Yeah, catch the ball. Catch the ball. It's thrown to you, whether it's spinning that way or that way, catch it. Yeah. Yeah, no, he played with Mac and spent more time with him, so there you go. It's awesome.
The Jets are officially listening to offers for Sam Darnold, which they announced, meaning that the market for Sam Darnold may not be as big as they thought, but where do you think he winds up? What makes the most sense for Sam Darnold?
I think the Jets remain the most logical thing. But now, if you look at, you know, Robert Saleh, you know, him and Joe Douglas, they want to go with a young player because the thing with it is that we're going back to something we talked about, Andy, before. They got to pick up his fifth-year option.
Now. Right, right.
And so, but, I mean, I want to see Sam Darnold. They got the money to go spend. They got plenty of draft capital to go get some good guys around him. Go out there, go get you another tackle. Go see if you can outbid Washington for Brandon Scherff or somebody like that, and, you know, and try and fix that offense for this young man.
Yeah, I mean, if I was them, I think I would go with my own quarterback. I would draft a guy.
I wouldn't be mad at it. But what are you going to get for Sam Darnold?
I don't know. I don't know where you send him, and I don't know what you get for him because you're right. Like Brian said, it doesn't sounds like they're not getting the calls that they want, which is why they're now announcing publicly that they're taking calls in case people forgot their phone number. I'm just trying to think of, and this is just off the top of my head, not that many quarterbacks have even gone to the fifth-year option anyway. Like, first-round quarterbacks rarely go to the fifth-year option.
Who went to the fifth that you
can Jameis and Mariota did recently.
That's the only one I can think of.
And it didn't work out for either one of them.
Yeah, Jameis and Marcus.
So I'm trying to think of other quarterbacks that you usually know. And I know that Sam Darnold's been in a really bad situation. Like, it's hard to know for sure because the Jets are such a disaster.
Right.
But normally you know after 4 years whether or not you want a guy to be your future or not. Like, if you don't know yet, then he probably isn't.
I would think so. I would think you would, wouldn't you?
That's how I view it. That's the same thing with Jameis and Mariota. It's like, all right, you guys can give him another year, but what's going to be different? They showed you the first 4 years who they are. I don't know. I think he ends up in San Francisco.
Well, San Francisco just seems like too perfect of a fit. That's why
Darnold
I don't see him there.
I see
him maybe Denver.
Denver would be good, too.
Yeah, Denver doesn't get undershot. Maybe Denver.
Yeah,
maybe.
Denver's a really good one.
By the way, Andy, Rhombus already taken. Thanks, Matt Jones.
There's already a rapper named Rhombus?
Yeah, there's somebody named Rhombus already.
Maybe you could be Quadrilateral. That's not bad. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off.
I can be nicknamed Quad.
Yeah, Quad. Rich Homie Quad, like we talked about earlier.
Rich Homie Quad.
We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.